Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Read Right to Left podcast. As always, I am G from Simply G, joined by my wonderful co-host, Ray from Whimsical Pictures.
Hello, everybody.
And this month, we are going to be talking about manga series that are 5 volumes or less. Typically, short and sweet series. We have lots of questions to get to. As always, thank you guys so much for sending them in. Always appreciated. And I know I didn't leave a huge amount of time for people to ask questions this month. But we always do really appreciate it whenever you send us things that we can answer.
Yep. We are a very professional podcast, I promise.
As you can tell, obviously, height of sophistication with us. But also, I would like to remind everyone that if you are wanting to listen to this podcast, you can follow us on my YouTube channel, Simply G, where if you subscribe, you'll get the newest episode as it comes out. Or you can also listen to it on pretty much all of your favorite podcasting platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. So it's around. It's around, and you can listen to us. And so it should hopefully be easy and convenient for you. But I think we should just get straight into it. I don't think there really needs to be much explanation as to what a series under 5 volumes are. It's literally manga series that are 5 books or less.
Yes, easy, quick little reads that, you know, you can squeeze in between your longer series, or just, it's nice to have some series on your plate that you know are not going to be running on and on and on and on.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the strengths of shorter series sometimes. We spoke about this a little bit in our one-shot or single-volume discussion, but sometimes it is just good to know that something has an ending. And if a series can satisfy you in that time as well, then it's win-win, really.
Yeah, and they're so easy to reread, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Manga is, as a medium, I feel like, is very privy to meandering.
Yes, very much so.
It's not necessarily something you have to worry about as much when you've only got a couple volumes to tell your story.
So. Exactly. I think a lot of manga fans, and it's exacerbated by obviously the titles that are most popular, having such popularity, continuing to run for as long as they want. But I think there's a perception that shorter series are bad or not as popular or not as successful. And hopefully with this discussion, we will kind of mitigate some of those assumptions. Because really, I think that you can tell a really good story in just a couple volumes. Whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5 volumes. Just as successfully as something that's 20 or more volumes as well, comparatively.
All that matters is the skill with which it's being told. So, yeah, without further ado, I guess we'll start from at Bacchus Vines. Do you feel like the story can be completed in 5 volumes or less? Is their first question. And that's a good overview type question, so let's start there.
Yes. For me... Yes, definitely a resounding yes on that one. Many stories, many of the manga that I follow are 5 volumes or less. I mean, Antique Bakery is a good, and Flower of Life are good examples. Our Dreams at Dusk is another good example. And those are just immediately off the top of my head, but Genkaku Picasso, Astro Lost in Space. These are all shorter series that I think tell really good that can have really good character focus or plot focus or both. Again, it's very dependent on the genre of the series, the creator, what they typically like to focus on. And yeah, I think there's definitely very possible for things to be effective in a short period of time.
Yeah, I mean, Astra's another good example, but, like, Tutera tells, like, this huge, sweeping epic that, like, covers hundreds of years pretty well, and it's three volumes, so. Again, I think one volume, 50 volumes, 100 volumes, what matters is the skill with which the story is being told. Because if it's somebody who does not know what they're doing, you realize that pretty quickly. Same person's other question is, what series do you think handles their character arcs the best, presumably within five volumes or less? So a short story that handles its character arcs really well. And I think I will actually start by talking about Astra, since it was already brought up. This is a five volume, is it Jump? Was it like Main Jump, or was it Jump Plus?
I think it was Jump Plus, but don't quote me on that, because I'm not 100% sure. Either way, it's in within the Jump, you know, family.
The Jump cinematic universe. Can you imagine if, like, Shonen Jump, like, Shonen Jump had, like, its own Tsubasa Reservoir Chronicles?
Oh my god,
with
I can...
every single Shonen Jump magazine.
I can barely keep all the Clamp stuff straight in my mind. Imagine crossovers with... Oh my god, no, too much.
It's gonna be... It's exactly like the Clamp Star system, too, where every single world has every single character.
Naruto was an Ichigo clone the whole time. Or something.
And
don't make me cry, Ray.
And he's a vampire in post-apocalyptic Tokyo, but he also runs a cute little cafe with his robot maid. And he's also a speed racer.
And also is having a gay awakening in high school. Like, there's a lot.
With it, as a fourth grader with his teacher.
Yes.
Sorry, we're already getting into some deep cuts here. Astra Lost in Space by, what's his face? Kenta Shinohara, the sket dance guy.
Yes.
Currently
also doing Witch Watch. This is his new series.
Oh. Yeah. Good to know. Is it good?
It's pretty good. I've only read, like, two chapters, but it's fun.
I think his sense of humor is cute.
Yeah.
But yeah, Astra Lost in Space, it's five volumes long. It's short. It's sweet. It spans the vast reaches of outer space. Premise very similar to They Were 11. If you know that short story / OVA, where you've got a group of kids, in this case, a group of kids who were just going on their school, like, camping trip, where, you know, this is far in the future, so they get to take their school camping trip, like, to a nearby planet that's, like, set apart for these school trips, which... sounds rad as hell. That would be awesome.
Jealous. Super jealous.
But instead, when they get to the camping planet, they are swallowed by a mysterious wormhole that spits them out in the middle of deep space, like hundreds of light years away. And through sheer happenstance, there happens to be an old abandoned spaceship there that they are able to get onto and get working. So they now have to use that spaceship to hop from planet to planet to try to get back home before mm-hmm. running out of food and water. And meanwhile, they find out that someone in their midst is a traitor, is the one who tried to get them killed in the first place. So they're all cooped up in a spaceship, hopping from planet to planet, limited resources, and somebody has been trying to kill all of them. So, yeah.
Yep. And they have to try and get back home. And it's really good.
It's good. And in terms of just character arcs, I feel like this is one that very much knew from start to finish what it was setting out to do. Mm-hmm. So it's got, you know, right from the start, introduces this little cast of characters that's going to be, you know, doing some forced family bonding on this spaceship for the next 5 volumes. And very quickly sets about, like, setting up each character's character arc and going through them at a pace that I think makes a lot of sense and just is well put together in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the character reveals more or less come where it makes sense for them to come in, and I just think it's a pretty well-crafted space adventure story.
Yeah, and it does... It leans on the idea or the tropes of, or the premise, I guess, of They Were 11, which is phenomenal mm-hmm. in its own right as well.
I know we talked about that one quite a bit in our Year 24 episode.
Yes, we did. But I did just want to say that everyone buy it when Dempa re-releases it, because that was an exciting
rescue. It's going to have the sequel in it, so it's going to be more than has ever been released in English before. So even if you have the singles or 4 shoujo stories, you should buy it from Denpa anyway. First of all, because it's got the sequel, and second of all, because I own that edition in Japanese, and it's really beautiful. So
third of all, it's a classic. Everyone should have.
Yes.
But yeah, twice. Astro is really, really good. There's also a recent anime adaptation, which is also really good. I think it, for borrowing or, like, relying on the premise of They Were 11, they are somewhat different execution, and I think that's a good thing. You're not going to get the exact mm-hmm. same experience reading that one versus They Were 11.
Well, it's a lot more, like, it's a lot more about, like, found family and, like, mm-hmm. learning to collaborate and get along with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more kid-friendly themes, I feel like, than They Were 11, which is very, like, conceptual, what would gender look like in various different alien species.
Yes. This one's more like, oh, planet adventures, and... how?
Everybody's spacesuits are like their ski jackets.
How can we eat food on a planet with weird plants? How? And you're like, yay.
Yeah. There's like the one planet that's literally just a beach episode as a planet.
Yes. Yes. I mean.
The other one with the weird camels that just let them ride them all over the place. It's great. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fun to be had in Astra Lost in Space. It's a solid little series. And if you aren't wanting to invest in the 5 volumes, although they are good, it is also available on the Shonen Jump app to read if you have a membership there. It was actually one of the first titles that I read on the Jump app, and I liked it so much I bought it.
Yep. Same, actually.
Mm.
Yeah, what else in terms of series you think handles character arcs well in a short amount of time?
Completely different genre, completely different magazine. But one that I did mention a little bit earlier was Our Dreams at Dusk by Yuki Kamitani. Mm-hmm. 4-volume series about a gay teenage boy who quickly finds community with a group of other queer individuals, coming to terms mm-hmm. with his sexuality, his identity, and learning a bit more about the wider community, being more confident in himself and his feelings for this boy that he likes in his class. And that's a pretty powerfully done series. It doesn't finalize and finish every single character's character arc, but I also feel that's purposeful because some of these characters are young and you don't need to know everything about yourself at like 12 years old.
And I mean, that's kind of one of the points of the series as well.
Exactly.
That, like, it's okay to not know.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to, like, still be figuring things out or not know how to label yourself or not want to label yourself.
Exactly. But we still get a really good show. Like, we're shown some good growth from our protagonist. We're shown some great growth with a lot, like, all of the side characters. Including the boy that he has this crush on who's outside of this community. That last volume hits hard. It hits hard. And it was really good.
Yep. Every volume hits hard. There's not a single point in Our Dreams at Dusk where I'm not, like, sobbing.
Crying? Yeah. Exactly. It'll make you sob and cry, but then the last volume will make you happy cry, but also, like, absolute heartbroken cry. It's just...
It's catharsis, that series.
Yes.
So good. I guess in a similar vein of, like... I guess these are all coming-of-age stories. Wow, manga. Coming-of-age stories? Who'd have thought? Never heard of such a thing. But I would say Ping Pong is also, by Taiyo Matsumoto, who is, I think, one of both of our favorite creators.
Yes.
hands down one of the best illustrators in the business. He's an incredible artist. Ping Pong is an excellent showcase of that. I've talked before about the incredible rhythm that this series has. It's a sports series about ping pong, table tennis. And it really feels like you can hear the ball bouncing back and forth across the table as you're reading the series. The way that it draws your eye back and forth and back and forth is just absolutely masterful. But in terms of the characters, it centers on a small handful of characters, but primarily these two boys, childhood friends named Pekko and Smile. Well, those are their nicknames. And they're both very accomplished high school table tennis players, but they've both hit two very different ruts. And the series follows them sort of, I guess, for Smile discovering his genuine love of table tennis and Pekko rediscovering his love of table tennis. In high school, as they sort of are facing up against some of the strongest table tennis players in the region. Both of those characters are so, like, fully crafted, I feel like, in what amounts to, like, what, 4 or 5 volumes of content. It's, there is no fat on that series at all. Like,
not at all.
Every panel that those characters are in is, like, telling you something about the character. It's, like, something that you need to know about the character for the story that's being told. It's so good. And then, like, all of their sort of rival characters, Demon, Dragon, Kong Wenga, China. I love Ping Pong.
No, it is really good. And it's one that I think, as well as being, well, it captures what can be so good about a sports series and a coming-of-age series of the importance of the passion in that sport, and then again the discussion of, like, talent versus hard work, and mm-hmm. playing a sport regardless of other people's involvement in that sport. I think there's just, mm-hmm. like, a lot of really wonderful messages that, like, other way longer series also do, but it's, like, just because something's longer doesn't mean that it's inherently better at telling that story. You can tell that story in a short period of time, which, of course, ping pong is proof of. And Tai Matsumoto's stuff typically is fairly short anyway. He's very good at getting right to the meat of the matter, as it were. He doesn't have too much extra fluff that's kind of inconsequential. So,
yeah, I feel like sports series in particular have quite a reputation for being very long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's like Haikyuu or Kuroko's Basketball or Prince of Tennis or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think ping pong really shows the value of having just a very short and concise, but just as rich, coming-of-age narrative, character narrative, competition narrative, where, again, it's just so confidently told. It's like, this is where I need to start, and this is where I need to end to tell this story. Mm-hmm. And just cutting out everything that isn't absolutely necessary to tell that. Really, really, really good.
Yeah, it's, there's a lot to really like. Another one that I wanted to mention, because I think it toes the line, or it balances itself really well, especially considering it's a series that's somewhat episodic, is Genkaku mm-hmm. Picasso by Usumaru Furuya, which mm-hmm. is 3 volumes long. It's about a teenage boy who is a very accomplished and impassioned artist, but also mm-hmm. super antisocial, doesn't have any friends, doesn't want any friends. But one of his classmates, a girl, kind of forces herself to be his friend, right? Mm-hmm. And then one day, he's kind of ignoring her, trying to keep doing his artwork, and he's sketching on the side of the riverbank. And she's just hanging out with him there. And out of nowhere, you know, shock, horror, terrible, a helicopter crashes on top of them. And he survives, but she doesn't. She dies. He comes back to school a couple weeks later after he's recovered from this incredibly traumatic event. Recovered from his injuries, at least. And now he's back in class with a bunch of, like, students who he doesn't have any friend, like, he's not friends with anyone. And the one person who kind of forced her way into his life is gone now. And he's trying to get back to his old, like, normal stuff of drawing his art and doing whatever. And all of a sudden, he starts hearing this girl talking to him. And he discovers she's a tiny miniature angel version of herself that can fit in his pocket. And she tells him that to be able to... was it to be able to move on? Something... She tells him... No, I remember what it is. His body starts rotting.
He died, actually.
So she's like, the way that you cannot die is if you help people, your artwork, you can help other people, and if you do so, then you won't die from this accident. And so he has to help all of his classmates with their various issues by jumping into the artwork that springs from his mind when he sees them, and solving mm-hmm. or their personal problems or finding out about their personal problems and then trying to offer a helping hand. And there's a whole
series Blue Skidoo.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of very wild and far ranging issues that his classmates are dealing with. And ultimately it's a story about him, you know, growing closer to other people and then also coming to terms with the loss of really his closest friend and actually grieving for her. It's really done, I think, very effectively by the end because it has enough time for him to make those connections with other people without it forgetting about that core relationship that got him into this situation in the first place and forgetting about him as a character as well when you are focused on everyone else's problems for a lot of it.
I guess the last one I wanted to mention for this question was Blank Canvas.
Mm-hmm.
So-called artist's journey. So-called artist's life. That's what it's called. Akiko Higashimura. This is her 5-volume autobiographical series covering her starting to get into art in high school, I believe, and then getting into art school and into, like, her early adult life.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly focusing on her relationship with an art teacher that she had in her hometown who she really respects and really respected and had a lot of impact on her life. So this one's a little different just because it is nonfiction, it's autobiographical, so this is her account of herself and this guy who really existed, her teacher. I felt that this was such a beautiful portrait of him as a person and what he meant to her and to the other students, even while acknowledging the parts of their relationship that weren't all that ideal. And I also think she crafts herself as a character very well. Like, as much as she is self-deprecating and makes fun of herself being, you know, dumb and immature and arrogant and just, like, getting in everyone's way, she's a very complicated character as well. And her sort of surly relationship to her teacher and her sort of, like, insisting that she wants to be an artist but then not really putting in the work.
Mm-hmm.
And then lying to her teacher about it over and over again because she just couldn't bear to tell him what her life was really like. The series is only 5 volumes long, but it again, it's just so rich in how it crafts these two people. And even, like, the side characters of the various students that Higashimura meets throughout it. It's just, yeah, that's a really good series as well. In terms of characters. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's always, it can always be interesting when you're talking about memoir or autobiographical stuff because it's a presentation of a person from that person. And as you mentioned, Ray, Higashimura does a really great job of telling her story and being aware of herself enough to tell that story. It's something you see a lot with, well, I don't know if aware of herself is quite the right phrasing, but Nagita Kabi does a similar thing of just being very, of how she tells her personal story. Might not be the way that anyone else would, but it's still very valuable, very genuine. And you can tell a really personal, emotionally genuine story in a very short period of time. I think that's just part of what memoir is.
Yeah, I feel like it's important to have someone, if they're writing memoir, I think it's important for them to have a good sense of humor about themselves.
Yes.
And be able to sort of not take themselves so seriously. And that's definitely something Higashimura has down.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can, I'm sure, imagine from any of her other works. She's a very funny person. But that certainly extends to herself as well. I love all of the little interludes of her, like, in the modern day with her little son.
Yeah.
There's one where it's like she's like making fun of herself for like going into art because she's like, parents, don't let your kids go into art. It's they're just gonna rip you off. And it's like her son comes in and she's like, never become an artist. And he's like, that's okay, mommy. I'm gonna be a soccer player. And she's like, oh, there's so much more money in athletics. That's a great choice.
Good job. I've raised you correctly.
So, I guess we'll go on to the next question. This one is from @DreMoraDre. Is there a certain type of story that you feel works better as a short story or a short series?
I think typically, as we mentioned, like these more character-focused, character-study, introspective pieces or character-drama pieces, comparatively to like a grand fantasy epic where you've got like four different magic rule like types and then 13 different lore and all these fantasy races and a big fight you gotta have. You can't really do that much of that stuff in five volumes or less.
Yeah, it's that would certainly be a task. Yeah, I say that, but I'm reading Marginal right now.
I mean, it's not that it can't be done. It's just harder.
And that is hard ass sci-fi. That's, yeah, I'd be, like, looking up words, and I'm, like, look them up in my Japanese dictionary, and I'm, like, I don't know what that is in English, and I have to look up the English word, too. But, yeah, I mean, you can do it, but only if you're a genius.
So. Yeah. There's some things that just work as a grand epic. I mean, for as much as I bemoan it, One Piece wouldn't work the same way if it was... I mean, it could work if it was shorter, but not, like, five volumes short, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff on that kind of scale where there's this huge sweeping story with high stakes and a complete myriad of characters and all of them want to be explored, and sadly, like, another example of this, which sadly won't be finished, is Berserk. I think a lot of people, that story, the way that it's told, couldn't have been done in, you know, five volumes, because it is not only a revenge story but a redemption story. And again, you can do that in a short period, but you need that time for the character to experience things and learn about themselves and reflect and then get to that redemption part, and that self-acceptance part, comparatively to like a high school romance where two teenagers are trying to go fall in love. Like, you don't need that much time for that.
And then it goes on 30 volumes because it was popular in Japan and you're like,
yep.
Yeah, can I get the Cliff Notes version, please?
Or JoJo as well as like another one you couldn't do in five volumes, especially if you want multiple generations of a family with crazy powers and
multiple timelines also.
Yeah, just all sorts of wacky shenanigans.
Yeah. Just like JoJo's lightning round. I feel like anything that's like heavily arc based as well, obviously, you know, you would be going through an arc of volume if you were trying to get that done in five volumes. So any of that shonen like arc based stuff, you know, Naruto or whatever. Gintama.
Mm-hmm.
Those obviously wouldn't work short, but yeah, I think, like you said, sort of, if you're gonna write a story that short, you really need to have a focus.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of, like, longer shonen series are made to, so that they can be stretched pretty much indefinitely.
Yeah.
So, like, there isn't necessarily, well, there'll be central themes, but maybe not that become clear in the first couple volumes. Like, it's more of the author finding out what they want to say as they go, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they start off with something that can go in multiple different directions, and they can sort of tweak it as they go to, you know, fit popularity polls and mm-hmm. the words of their editor and stuff like that as they go. Which I think also takes a lot of skill. You know, we've talked about Yona before being a series that I think she probably knows where she's planning on ending it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the stuff in the middle, she's kind of just going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd say the same of, like, Fullmetal Alchemist or any of these, like, popular, long-running shonen or shoujo stuff. There's a direction and plots you want to hit, but sometimes your characters just want to have an adventure in this place.
Yep. But whereas if you've got, you know, say 3 or 4 or 5 volumes to work with, that's, if you want it to be successful, the successful ones of that length, I feel like, very much from the start are like, I have this story to tell,
mm-hmm.
and I want to say this with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether that be a tight character portrait of just one or two or a small handful of characters, or whether that be, you know, a particular, like, say, adventure story or romance,
mm-hmm.
or some sort of parable, whatever. it's very much like, it has to be tight,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that's where we see stories of this length sort of falter, is either there's not enough of an, like, the idea is not strong enough and is not tight enough. It needed yeah. to go through a few more runs through the, you know, whiteboard or whatever. Or it's like,
it's trying to cram too much story into a short,
yes,
a short period, which I think we'll discuss a little bit later, because one of the stories, yes. one of our questions does talk about this.
I have been teaching 3rd and 4th graders all day, so just that's if I sound a little tired, that's why. But I'm okay.
It's okay. It's a Monday night when we're recording this, guys. So, understandably, first day of the working week is always the roughest day of the working week.
Yeah. Also, from @DreamOraDre, thoughts on any trends of these shorter series? Trends of shorter series lately?
Mm-hmm.
I guess a lot of autobiographical manga have been happening. With, like, the cutesy art styles.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of, like, educational manga, autobiographical manga, as you said, or memoir manga. At least, especially, I'm sure in Japan, but also being licensed and released in English.
I was just gonna say, the English releases of, like, classic series, that tends mm-hmm. to be a lot of the short stuff that we get over here.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say that a lot of what we see LGBT titles tend to be shorter ones as well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Our Dreams at Dusk, Love Me for Who I Am is, I think, finished at 5 volumes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's finished. It's currently at 4 volumes in Japan, but Boys Run the Riot, we're seeing a lot of, I mean, we are seeing an uptick in queer stories anyway, in English, yeah. And I think that trend, those sorts of stories typically do only need to be, I mean, whether it's, you know, coming to terms with your identity or coming out or a romance or whatever it is, those stories don't need to be 100 volumes long. So,
oh gosh. Yeah. Just, can you imagine a coming out story that's like 50 volumes long?
Every time they try to come out to their family, there's some shenanigans, something happens, and
they have okay. It's like, yeah, I was thinking of like some Rumiko Takahashi, like Ranma, like slapstick, but it's like the joke is that every time they try to come out to their family, they just like pratfall or something.
Someone turns into a panda, and you're like, not again.
Not again. Wah wah. Slide whistle.
Exactly.
I would read that though, actually. there's a lot of like shorter LGBT, like that Blue Sky Feeling, My Brother's Husband.
Mm-hmm.
I Want to Be Your Girl is also over in 4 volumes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. Next we have from at Storied Shelves, always sending us very thoughtful questions.
Thank you. We help very us much formulate appreciate it.
Very thoughtful discussion. So, thank you. Question 1 from them. How would you compare the feeling of story arcs in shorter series to the ones of longer running series? Kind of already talked about that. Mm-hmm. Just a lot more focused and a lot tighter, I think. And usually I think there's also, only one or two.
Yeah, I think less complicated. If you can be to the point in certain aspects, I think when you talk about like writing a story or creating something, a lot of people think they have to be super original with their ideas,
yeah,
or with like their characters or what's going on, when really that's not the case at all. I think you can be just as effective or more effective with executing well a tried and true trope or premise or whatever else that is. And
it's the same philosophy I apply to like bringing new games into the classroom. Is every little like unique twist, that's more time you have to spend explaining it.
Yeah.
How much of your series do you want to be you explaining lore at people, you know?
Exactly. I mean, some creators can be bad enough with the tell don't show as it is. So if you're also trying to explain a magic system and like 3 different political parties and a war and everything else, that's too much.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. What are some things that arcs of shorter series have to their advantage? They don't get tired. Like, you don't get sick of them. You're not like, oh god, when is this gonna end?
Mm-hmm.
You don't like the end of like the Chimera Ant arc of Hunter x Hunter, where you're just like, really? It's only been another half a second? No!
Yeah.
How many more chapters is this? Go ahead.
More to your point, the weariness, as we were joking about earlier, like a lot of the love stories, a lot of high school romance stuff, the will they, won't they, for 15 volumes, and then you introduce the rival character, and then you introduce, and it's just, just kiss already. Just tell the boy you like him, or just, why do I care at this point? You're your own worst enemy. And then, then that happens, and then you have to wait for all the friends to find their romantic matches, and you've got to deal with that,
yep.
And you're like, ugh, why don't you just end?
Like, their stupid ex-girlfriend comes back from, you know, prefectures away. She's literally never been to this prefecture before, but she's here now for some reason.
Yes. She's moved. She's gone to live with her grandma. And isn't it great? Now we can get together again. And, it's just...
Oh, no. She's back.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And then I just want them to get together. And if you want to show off a couple dates, that's fine. But then they got to graduate and then married. And that's it. That's all you want. Like,
just... Yep. This is, you know, this is one of the best things about BL and Yuri.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that definitely vastly overstay their welcome, but for the most part, they're short and sweet. They're like, we know what you're here for, and we've brought the goods and nothing else.
If they're not banging by the sixth chapter, i.e. the last chapter of the first book, that's a slow burn.
Yes.
And it may last one or two more volumes. So
yep. Exactly. If it's Yuri, you know what? It'll be three volumes long, and that'll be a slow burn, and they'll smooch at the end, and that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll take off their shirts one time.
No, yeah, that I was going to bring up is that romance typically, at least in my experience, does seem to be better when it's short and sweet, especially if it is just straight up like, oh, this is just modern day people from Japan who are in love with each other, versus you know, some romance that's also in like a fantasy setting or something. They've got something else going mm-hmm. on, and BL and Yuri does it really well, because I think it's just exactly there's an understanding between the reader and the creator of, like, this is what you want, I'm gonna give you the goods, and you as the reader, if you're not getting the goods immediately, you're like, why do I have to wait? Don't make me wait!
Yep. Does this mean straight people don't know what y'all want?
No, I think it's just, there's an element of masochism with teenage girls of, like, wanting to see the full, like, development of the relationship from every fucking possible angle, and then also,
oh my god,
like, I don't know, because as a straight girl, I don't understand it, but I also do understand it. It's just not, it never appealed to me, so it's not my thing, but it's a lot of people's thing, and that's great. I'm glad they're there for you, but
you know what,
just,
I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read my gay books. Any elements, story or writing-wise, that work best with shorter series? It really is, like, if you've got an idea in your head that you mm-hmm. want to convey to people. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
shorter is better.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's even if it's a super complicated idea or, like, super involved, if you're just focusing on that, like, just that for three chapters mm-hmm. or a volume's worth, that's fine. That's all it needs. And people can go like, wow, mm-hmm. I never thought of that like that before. That new perspective.
Yep. Basically. And last one from at Storied Shelves is, any hidden gem series? Would you like to go first?
Okay, so one that I love, and it is one that's sort of like, it was obvious, it was cut short, so it's not like fully, I don't know, it's satisfying in the way that it could have been, but it is also really good, and it is satisfying for how it ended. It's Cross Manage, which is a five-volume sports series from Kaito of Blue Flag notoriety nowadays. You can read it on Shonen Jump. It is a story of a teenage boy who has kind of lost interest or inspiration in his life after a knee injury forces him to quit soccer. And through a kind of chance meeting, he is roped into becoming the manager for the girls' lacrosse team at his school. And it's really good. It's great. And I wish there was more of it, but it's solid. It's nice to see a girls' team for a shonen sports series. And Kaito is just good at what they do. And the relationship is sweet. And all the girls are pretty awesome. And that's it.
There you go. I was gonna say, this one is, like, I literally think that most people didn't even realize this got released in English.
Mm-hmm.
But Maria the Virgin Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, it's three volumes, and then there's, like, a little short volume of, like, side stories.
Mm-hmm.
It also got an anime that is actually better than the manga, in my opinion. Because it expands on some stuff, but it's still only one core long, so it's short and sweet as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a sort of low fantasy, I guess, series taking place during the Crusades.
Mm-hmm.
In France. And basically, it's about the conflict between the witches, who, you know, are very sort of scantily clad and, like, sexually liberated, representing, you know, sexual freedom as well as, like, paganism and, yeah, a variety of things. female liberation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And their conflict with the Catholic Church, represented by a couple of angels that we meet, as well as, you know, the priests, and the church itself, the Crusaders, and how they use the witches to sort of get the drop on their own opponents, but then condemn the witches for being, you know, horrors or whatever.
As you do.
It's... Yep. Oof. But it's... I think it's unique in the way that it's, like, this very detailed sort of low fantasy with a lot of historical details while also being a really raunchy sex comedy. And not, like, an offensive one, which, like, I found it hilarious, and mostly my feminist self was pretty happy with it in terms of what it's saying about female sexuality and organized religion, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's by the Moyashimon guy.
Oh!
Which is, yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, Moyashimon's also good, by the way. We've only ever gotten, like, two volumes of it in English.
Yeah,
but...
heartbreaking. Is it still streaming?
But, yeah.
Watch the show if you can. It used to be on Crunchyroll.
I don't know. It's probably still there. I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Well, streaming
licensing. That seems like a weird one for the network to just be like, no, you can't actually show that one anymore.
I don't know.
Stranger I feel like they should just be like, I don't know, we made like 37 cents off of that show, so fine, you can keep it.
I really like the show, so I would actually buy it if they put it out, just by the way.
Yeah, that, right? It's really good.
I really like it.
It's really good.
But that one is
worth
not
reading and worth watching.
But that one is not. So, Moyashimon is not 5 volumes or less. That one's much longer.
No, it's much longer, but it is 5 volumes or less in English because we got 2 or 3.
Yeah.
That anime is also good.
Mm-hmm.
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I feel like there's so many people, even who, like, watched the anime and enjoyed it, who, like, did not realize that this manga came out in English, but it did. And you can get it. I don't know how out of print it is, but.
Was that
there you go.
Seven Seas who put that out? Or...
I don't remember. I think it was Kodansha.
Mm. I mean, yeah. Regardless. I was vaguely aware of it, and I've been meaning to watch the show forever, but then I just always get sidetracked. So that will go higher on my list of when I next watch something.
That's probably the least known one that I can probably think of.
Yeah.
I would also take the opportunity to plug personal favorite, I Want to Be Your Girl. Mm-hmm. It's on Mangamo.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really cute. It's an LGBTQ series. And, yeah, it's really sweet. And it makes me smile.
Yes. Another one that I would plug, I think it's only on Crunchyroll Manga, is Memoir... Oh, no, maybe it's on Kindle now. Memoirs of Amorous Gentlemen by Moyoko Ano.
Yes.
Which is super good. But again, one that I don't think anyone is aware of because it was on Crunchyroll Manga. Mm-hmm. And
it's really good.
It is really good.
That one and Buffalo 5 Girls is also really good.
Yes. So read that one.
Yeah.
That one's the story of a woman who works in a brothel in Paris, and she sends all her money to her sweetheart, who's just, you know, playing around on it. He's not actually that interested in her. And it's a story of heartbreak and all the various men who come to this brothel, and obviously the women who live and entertain folks at this brothel, and it's really good.
Yep. Moyoko Ano, I think I like her best when she's writing about sex workers. She's got a really interesting way of writing about them that really, you know, she writes them with a lot of strength and a lot of agency while also still recognizing the ways that the system is inherently built to exploit them.
Mm-hmm. And continues to fail them as well.
Continues to fail them, yeah. But also doesn't, like, frown upon them for being sexually active or doing sex work, for, in some cases, choosing sex work, depending on which historical period she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say The Ghost and the Lady.
Oh, yeah.
This is actually, like, it's part of a longer, like, a much longer series in Japanese called The Black Museum, but it's a series of shorter stories. So The Ghost and the Lady is 2 thicker volumes that we got in English. It's sort of hard to explain, but it's basically the story of Florence Nightingale with a supernatural twist in that she's being followed around by this ghost dude. The creator of Ushio and Tora, so the visual style is very over the top, much like that one is, but it's a really engaging, sort of haunting read, and of course Florence Nightingale's a very interesting figure, so I would recommend that one as well.
Very much so. I wanted to add, and this is maybe not as unknown as it was 2-3 years ago, especially now that it's been, it's had a film adaptation, but Children of the Sea, which is by Daisuke Igarashi, it's a 5-volume story of a teenage girl, or I think she's a middle school girl, who meets two mysterious brothers at the aquarium that her father works at during the summer vacation, who were raised, well, they were found in the ocean, raised by dugongs, and their very interesting relationship with this girl, and then their larger relationship and this larger questioning of humanity's relationship with the ocean. And, you know, the how all humanity, all living things were born from the ocean and various things like that. It's really, really, I'd say literary. Like, it takes a little bit of thinking about. It's not just straightforward, like, spelling things out for you. Which I think made people confused about the film. But it is really good, and I think has a really lovely, I think it captures kind of summer, and if you've ever spent any time by the ocean, and this kind of, just this interesting, it captures a lot of things of this, like, uncertainty of this period of life as well when you are a young teenager, and learning more about yourself, and your place in your family, and your friendships and things like that. I think it's just, it's really, really good. And they're beautiful volumes from Viz's signature line. And yeah, definitely give them a shot.
That one definitely, like, called me back to some, like, old memories of, like, growing up in Hawaii. Looking out at the sea, or being at, you know, this tiny ass beach with no one else around, or, like, being at the aquarium at night. It's like, it's a very atmospheric and evocative read.
Yes. It's not going to be for everyone, but I definitely think it's one that will appeal to certain readers. And I think it's one that people can, recognize the extent of how comics can be, like, tell a story as well. It's not fully, obviously, structured. It's just beautiful.
Yes. We love weird comic books.
Right, the Right to Left podcast.
Okay, we've got the last set of questions here from @Marumichi. Are there any manga with 5 volumes or less that left you wanting more or made you feel like they could have been longer? So, sort of disappointing series or series where you really felt their shortness. There's loads.
Yeah. Yes. Yes is the short answer to that question. I mentioned it earlier, but it is a shame that CrossManage, I feel, got cut short in its life. It could have definitely done with a handful more volumes to really explore more of its cast and more of the sports aspect of it. But I think it's just a testament, unfortunately, to the fact that it was a sports series about a girls' team in a shonen magazine, and Kaito wasn't that well established as a creator then.
There's also lacrosse, too.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, lacrosse, which is not the most popular of sports. And I don't think that manga reignited a passion for it in the same way that, like, Haikyuu encouraged people to play volleyball, or Hikaru no Go encouraged people to play Go.
Yeah.
So.
I also think, like, Kaito has grown a lot as a creator between that one and Blue Flag. So I think that they've come a lot more into, like, who they are as an artist. Mm-hmm. And there were times in Cross Manage where it felt like I couldn't quite tell who Kaito was as a creator yet.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like they've found a very distinctive voice at this point.
Yes.
You know, I think that in these short series, as we've been saying, I guess using tropes to your advantage is a very important skill. So you can very much, like, say in Astra Lost in Space, you know, all of those characters has sort of a shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you know, you meet the character who's very serious and has glasses, and you kind of know what to expect from him. And from there, the story can deepen your perception of him around that foundation. But sometimes there are creators who create, they just draw a trope, and they forget to fill out the insides.
Yeah.
And, I read 4 volumes of That Wolf Boy Is Mine, and I have no idea who any of those people are.
Yeah.
So, I get the feeling that they have character traits inside the author's head.
Mm-hmm.
And I am being expected to fill in the blanks, and I don't appreciate it.
On a similar sense to that, this was one I talked about it on my weekly wrap-up live stream last week, and I didn't like this series, first of all, but it also just wasn't, it didn't have much direction, and I think it forgot what the point of it was, but also it didn't explore any aspect of it enough to be, like, satisfying. And that's No Vampire, No Happy End, or Happy Ending.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because it starts as one thing, a teenage girl finds a vampire who doesn't know anything about being a vampire, so she's trying to teach him how to be a vampire, and then it gets distracted because then there's a vampire hunter, and then we don't really know if this boy is actually a vampire because he's not, he doesn't have any of these weaknesses that vampires normally do, and then they meet actual vampires, and then our main character gets distracted with them, and then they start an idol group, and then it's just, there's a lot going on. It veers in wild directions.
See, I feel like so many of these things have happened in Black Butler, and it works there because it's long.
Exactly! Right? Like, exactly! Although, you know that no character is missing their dick in Black Butler, which is one of the issues that No Vampire, No Happy Ending has, and just doesn't... So the whole reason I bring this up is because that's a 2-volume series, and it ends abruptly, like, the vampire idol girls reveal to the town that vampires are real, everything's fine, and happy ending, uh-huh. Right? But in the author's note, it's like 5 pages of, like, additional information that just never made it into the series, and, like, that, why wasn't any of this in the series? Because the girl, her little brother was a secret vampire, and then her grandma had met the original vampire. This guy who's a vampire, he's not really a vampire. He's not a clone, like a homunculus or something for this. And just like, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of ideas here, and none of them were given to me, except for in the author's note, in a hasty, like, oh, and here's all the other stuff that I thought about. So, that was an experience. Oh,
man. Yeah, man. That, like, you describing that kind of reminds me of some of the shorter Clamp stuff as well.
Don't get me started on that.
Oh, boy. It's just like, man, you have so many ideas and nobody around to whittle them down for you.
Or just no ideas. That's the other, like, what was Clover? What was Clover about? Does anyone know?
Clover. Everyone, like, there's so many people who tell me that it's brilliant, and I have not found anyone to tell me what actually happens in it yet. it's pretty, you know?
Was there a point to Clover? Did Clover have a story?
Please let us know in the comments, what is Clover about? Clover stands. Now's your time. Okay. I feel like there's so many other like random little shoujo series that are like 2 volumes long that it's like, okay, we talked about how like romance manga should not be too long mm-hmm. in general, mm-hmm. but also it should not be too short yes. because like I've read like the Backstage Prince, I think it's called, the Kabuki one by the Black Bird creator.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like hollow.
Yeah.
It's just hollow. I need to know who these two people are. Like, again, back to that Wolf Boy Is Mine. It's, I feel like you've presented me these characters based on tropes mm-hmm. that I know. Mm-hmm. You need to fill in the rest, actually.
Yeah, Yukurism.
It's kind of important.
Yukurism has that issue as well. That's a 4-volume thing. And I mean, Love and Focus, which is another one from that Wolf Boy Is Mine. They have fractionally yeah. more character, but also not enough to be 3 volumes long. And then in the another category of these series that leave you wanting more or felt like there should be more is, of course, stuff that was cancelled partway. A lot of jump titles, mm-hmm. a lot of like stuff that had a strong start, but the magazine was just like, well, nobody's that interested in this, so you have one chapter to wrap it all up. Good luck.
Yeah.
And I will be forever salty about Phantom Seer because I actually legitimately did really like that one, and it hit the cutting block far sooner than it should.
I feel like it's a solid 50-50 shot whether your, like, Milk Morinaga title is, like, the sweetest Yuri you've ever read and you just love these two girls and they're adorable mm-hmm. and you just are full of adorable shoujo butterflies in your heart. Or it's just, like, what? Who are these people? Why are they dating?
Mm.
Are they dating? Question mark? So, you know.
Survey asks, we'll let you tell us whether they are or not.
Yeah. Anyway, don't bother with Gakuen Polisi is what I'm saying. But do bother with girlfriends mm. and Hana and Hina after school. They're very cute.
Mm-hmm.
What short titles would you recommend to a person who prefers longer running series? I feel like if you prefer longer running series, you probably won't like short series that much. So,
yeah, it's a, I don't know. It's a complicated thing to say because, like with everything, why does that person like long running series? Is it...
Yeah. Have you just not tried a short series?
Yeah. Because if it's just like, oh, they like the cool fights, they're short series with cool fights. So that's an easy recommendation. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, they really like the character or the characters or their romance or whatever, then yeah. But if it's like, oh, it's because they've gone all of the adventures of every planet across the galaxy and then also into the fourth dimension, and that there's not too many short series that have that aspect covered.
Yeah, or if you want, like, ensemble cast of characters just, like, slowly getting to know each other and getting more comfortable with each other, and you like that journey, you're probably not going to get that to the same extent in a shorter series. Mm-hmm. Again, it's just, it's got to be tight.
But, I mean, I think Astra is a good middle ground. It has mm-hmm. that adventure, it has those characters, it has a pretty clear overall story and, like, ending to where the point that the plot's going, and a bit of mystery, a bit of, like, reveals over the course of the series. So you get a little bit of wriggle room and a little bit of everything good that is a larger, more adventurous series, whilst also coming to its natural conclusion in a fairly short period of time.
Yeah, ping pong as well. I think you get all the excitement of a longer sports series in just two volumes. Yeah.
Yeah. If you like, I guess, sweet historical romance, Blissful Land is a digital-only title from Kodansha. That's really cute. If you like stuff like A Bride Story, it's similar to that, but set in historical Tibet, and has a more age-appropriate couple. But it's good, and it's cute. And again, like, if you like that sort of exploring society and in the history and culture, without, well, not that A Bride Story is long, but it is longer than Blissful Land. That'll give you that. Plus, it ends with a wedding too, so, you know, ticks all the boxes.
If you like slow burn romance or slice of life, something like Girlfriends or BL Metamorphosis mm-hmm. as well mm-hmm. is over in five volumes. That's a very like slow burn like slice of life story about. Yeah, a high school girl and a 75-year-old woman who find friendship and companionship through a shared hobby, which is BL manga. And, I feel like five volumes was the perfect length for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very laid back.
Mm-hmm. Another, if you like, and this is maybe cheating a little bit, but there's a couple series that have, like, spin-offs that are within the world of the original series, but focuses on just one character or just, like, one shorter story. So, like, a good example of this, and I would expect that a lot of people will be reading this anyway, but the Volume Zero, or kind of spin-off volume of Jujutsu Kaisen, which is a completely different protagonist set several years before the main story, is pretty self-contained. And, like, has a beginning, middle, and ending to that story arc just in that single volume. Again, it's marketed as Volume Zero of that series, and obviously that, like, Jujutsu Kaisen's one of the biggest things in Jump right now, so it's not like people won't be reading that. But if you did just want something with, you know, action and kind of creepy monsters, and not have to invest 400 hours into the longer Jujutsu Kaisen, not that it's actually that long, you don't have to. I think it's a pretty self-contained story. In a similar bracket to that is also the gangsta spin-off, the Marco, what is it called? Gangsta Cursed, which is five volumes, focused on just one character again many years before the original series, and focuses on his character growth in his youth, how he changed from being a Twilight Hunter to working directly with Twilights, which is what he currently does, like, in the main storyline, and his meeting his girlfriend and all sorts of things. So if you are looking for, again, that one you can read outside of the main story and still enjoy it. It is quite standalone, but, I mean, it's if you you should probably read the original, or if you're a fan of the original already and you haven't read that for some reason, check those ones out, because they are good. And it's more of the same.
All right. So the last question that I saved for the last, I think is a good place to finish, which is, what are our favorite short series? And I'm going to skip talking about things that we've already gone into, like Our Dreams at Dusk or Blank Canvas, Ping Pong, et cetera, et cetera. But did you want to talk about yours first?
I mean, I should probably not choose a Fumi Yoshinaga title, because that's just disgustingly too predictable. I would typically say Flower of Life, though, because that's four volumes and I love it. But
go for it.
We just talked about Yoshinaga in March, so I feel like people might be a little bit Yoshinaga out.
G loves Flower of Life.
I do. I really, really do. I also really love My Brother's Husband, which I think captures the family element really well. And I think that's one that is maybe a little bit outside of some people's radar. I really enjoy all of the Mizuki, like, one-shot stuff that we've gotten, of course, Tono Monogatari, stuff like that, Nononba. I mean, I also just did mention Blissful Land, which I think is even more unknown because it is a digital-only title, so of course a lot of people kind of skip over those, they don't have much interest in those. Pretty much anything from Glacier Bay Books, their catalog is great. Both the Gleolia anthologies, as well as Children of Mootown, their recent release to print. That one's really good. And I'm sure there's more. Devilman is a good, strong addition to that list. Very different, but a good classic title. And
yeah.
there's a lot. Like, there's so much. That's a great thing about short series as well, is you can, they're quick and you can get through them and you can reread them and re-enjoy them, and it's not a huge investment. So yeah. I'm sure I'll think of something whilst you're talking as well, so
I also love Devilman. it's great. It's rad as hell. And there's some, like, pages you open up and you're like, Go Nagai's art is just so psychedelic and wild. And you're just like, yeah! And also, it's like the you are, like, queerbaiting bad boys who are definitely in love with each other.
Yeah.
So. Incredible. Incredible. It just barely sort of misses our cutoff, as it's six volumes, but I feel like it still counts as short.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Sunny.
Mm. Look at you bending the rules it for might your be my answers.
Taiyo Matsumoto. Yeah, it feels like it fits in the category.
Mm-hmm.
You can bend the rules too if you want to. there are no rules.
We make up the show. We set the rules. We're allowed to break them.
Yeah, Sunny's really good. Mm-hmm. It's about a group of kids in a orphanage.
Yeah, or a foster home. Care, like, yeah,
situation. Yeah, Tutera, obviously. We don't need to go into how much I love Year 24, but we can go into, G knows all of the specific ways that the Pokeland has been ruining my life recently. This one is now longer than five volumes because it has the sequel series that has been written decades after the original, but the one that we're getting into English is 5 volumes condensed into 2 volumes. Big hardcovers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, obviously anything Moto Hagio, but Poe has a special place in my heart. Heart of Thomas has a special place in my heart. That one's interesting because it's like a series of vignettes. So it has, when it was originally released, each book was titled a different thing. So like The Robin's Nest, Penny Lane, you know, all the, sorry, Penny Rain.
Oh, fake fan over here.
There's a whole like, yeah, right. There's a whole like really funny thread that like Rachel Thorne has, I don't know, buried in her Twitter somewhere, where she's just like complaining about the process of trying to figure out how to translate Penny Rain, because it's just Moto Hagio looking at the name Penny Lane and thinking it was like an expression for like light rain, and then making it the name and premise of her entire short story.
Yeah.
And it's also one of the best short stories in that series. Being a translator is pain. Hagio also called her vampires Vampanella because she forgot the word vampire. She was flying by the seat of her pants. Yeah, she just, in the 70s.
She just became Shakespeare. She just channeled Shakespeare and started making up terms.
Exactly. That one's really good for how it manages to, like, introduce basically an entire new cast of characters for every story.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you who each of them is. Have them develop some sort of relationship with Edgar and or Alan and or Mary Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, usually, like, die or something by the end of it.
Usually vampires, die.
I mean,
just
they,
I mean,
not as often as you would think, but pretty often.
On a somewhat regular basis, someone will die.
Yes. Yes. I love Hagio. I actually don't talk about her in detail that much on this podcast. I just talk about loving her. But yep. It's short and you should buy it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get the second one at some point. I would also say Cat-Eyed Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're getting like a horror theme here, but that's one of my favorite horror titles by Kazuo Umez, who we've talked about before. Super scary. Love Cat-Eyed Boy's design. It's super iconic.
It is.
That one's one that I like to reread around the Halloween time. And also Paradise Kiss and Gokinjo Monogatari, both by Ayazawa.
Mm-hmm.
Both about kids learning fashion. And my favorite BL, Itoshi no Nekoke, is also 5 volumes. So I mentioned that one a lot, I think.
Yeah.
But it is my favorite.
And as it should. It's a, I mean, yeah. I want someone to license it because it. I just want more of her work available in English. I wanted to add Planetas to my... I do prefer the anime, but the manga is also very good. I think the anime structures it a little bit well and fleshes it out a little bit better than a 5-volume series can do, especially when you're making it 26 episodes long. But that's not to say that the manga is bad. It's wonderful. It's by Makoto Yukimura, who is of a Vinland Saga fame now. Very, very, very good series. Wonderful, especially if you're a fan of like space travel and things like that.
Also, Skullface bookseller Honda-san is one of those, like, drawn in a simple art style, like, 4-panel autobiographical comics. But the anime was super charming as well. It's, like, I think 10-minute episodes. But it's just about this bookseller who works at, presumably, Kinokuniya, something like that. big chain bookstore, specifically on the comic book floor of the store.
Yeah.
Working with all of her various kooky coworkers who also work within the bookstore and specifically on the comics floor.
Mm-hmm.
And she draws them all as, like, you know, she draws herself as a skeleton and she draws the others as, like, you know, a suit of armor or, like, the one with the creepy hood or the...
rabbit head.
They all have rabbit head. They're all, like, very offbeat character designs. So, that one's good. It's just overflowing with a love for books and reading and readers.
But also, just understanding working in retail far too well.
Yeah. Like... yeah, it's... Honda-san loves her job, but she also hates her job. Depends on the day.
Yeah. I feel that, girl.
I like Uramichi Oni-san as well.
Mm-hmm.
If that was a longer series than it was, it would wear out its welcome very quickly. But at 2 volumes, I found it very funny.
Yeah, it was a good one.
There you go.
But yeah.
Lots of recommendations there. I'm sure that I'll compile a list and put it down there, in the down there somewhere.
In the comments. It'll be in the podcast description. It'll be in the YouTube description at some point.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm sure, hopefully, it'll introduce you to some stuff that... Because for... The thing is, as well, with the shorter series... We get a lot of them. We get so many. Because they're short. They're not a huge investment for publishers. So we do get, like, a lot more than people realize, I think. And we have done forever, right? But there's very few that have the popular culture impact of, you know, the mainstay shonen stuff. So people forget. But we do get a lot of stuff that, I mean, we have licensing events in the manga community, like, all of the time. All of the time. And
just finished one.
We just finished, like, 3.
That's true. Yen Press and J Novel and Seven Seas.
And Starfruit Books, which is a small, small press indie publisher. So we get so much. And yes, some things have 20 volumes and are ongoing, but other things are like 3 volumes max, and maybe 12 people will read them and love them, and then they'll go on the bargain shelf because no one's going to remember them.
Aw. That's the other thing, though, too, is like someone was like, talking about, like, those old, like, long shoujo series that, like, every other volume is just impossible to find. And they were like, imagine trying to buy Yona in 10 years.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And it hurt my heart to think about it because it's like, oh, no. Oh, no. Visions of the dark future. But that's the other nice thing about short series is that if you're looking for them, you just look for them in a chunk on eBay, and then you've got the whole thing and you don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. And there's not going to be necessarily that many people clamoring for those volumes, unless for some reason...
For volume 8 of 47?
Yeah. Unless for some reason the manga community has deigned it to be important and then everyone wants it. A la No Longer Human by
No Longer Furia. Human by Usamaru Furia. That was so weird. Like, I swear a lot of the time that people were saying how, like, impossible it was to get that one, it was still during the time when it would come up every Right Stuff holiday sale for 50 cents a volume.
Probably. Like, scarcity, man. Scarcity fuels snap buying, and
I mean, we're both we're both Hagio fans, so. This stares off into the middle distance.
This is true. Although we are lucky, we're getting both They Were 11 and Little Leo and Poclan Volume 2, fingers crossed, this year.
Yes.
So maybe they were 11 next year, but we have lots of Hagio to look forward to. I think there's been rumors that A Drunken Dream's getting reprinted as well. So
I hope so. Yeah. Yep. A Drunken Dream. I want The Heart of Thomas reprinted.
It deserves it.
Because the volume that I have, I used to write my thesis, and its spine is cracked, so I would like another one. it's a very privileged problem to have, I know, but there you go.
That is probably the least manga privileged thing, the most mildest manga privileged thing you can hear. In the community. So you don't have to worry.
Yeah, from our group chat earlier, where I made a joke about like $300 figures, and G was like, ha, $300. Cute.
If only in my dreams. Bah.
All right, well, that's manga series 5 volumes or less. Hopefully you found some bite-sized titles to give a shot.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of to really love with shorter series, as we've, I think, spoken about to death in this podcast.
Yep.
It also is a little bit more of an expanded view comparatively to our like single volume or one-shot episode that we did, because obviously all of those titles fit into this topic as well, but I didn't really want to focus on just single volume stuff because we've already talked about it.
Yes.
And there
in
are
the description.
There are a little bit longer titles that also deserve your time and energy and interest and money. So yeah, hopefully we've given you some recommendations, some titles that you hadn't heard of or are interested in trying or just wanted, you know, some opinions on before you started them. Whatever the case may be, hopefully. Yeah, we've provided that. Answered all your wonderful questions as per always. And again, big thank you to everyone who does send those in every single month. If you're wanting to send in a question for next month, you can either leave it in the comment section of the YouTube posting for when I post this on to YouTube, or you can follow me on my social media at CollectingG. I will always post prior to our recording and typically give a little bit more time than was this month, but so you can get your questions in there. So yes, next month we're talking about a title that we mentioned a lot, actually, in this podcast, even though it didn't fit in the topic.
It's even though it's the opposite of the topic.
Next month we are doing a series spotlight on the amazing, incredible, ongoing series Yona of the Dawn.
Yes.
And a series that we both love and adore and hold close to our hearts and read and then get upset that there's not more volumes available. And
yes.
So, yes, I think we're both really looking forward to that discussion.
It's going to be fun.
Should be fun. It's also one that hopefully our discussion will encourage people to read it if they aren't, because it's one that has a lot of very broad appeal, a lot of cross appeal, to
yes,
even if you're not a certain you don't think you're a fan of certain demographics of certain genres, I think it's one that if you give it a shot you will actually really enjoy. So
we were just talking about it, weren't we, because Miura himself was also a really big fan of Yona of the Dawn.
Yes. Yes, very much so. But yeah, so we'll leave your questions about Yona of the Dawn, whether that be about the series itself, the plot, characters, whatever you want. We will do our utmost best to answer them. And yeah, I think that's it. As always, you go follow Ray on all of her social media. She's at WhimsicalPix, P-I-X, on Twitter. She's Whimsical Pictures on YouTube. She makes fantastic content, and you should all be subscribed / following her. And the meme content is quality. The trash content is quality. So, you really, all around, net positive experience. No downsides.
I am not a person. I am an experience. That contain multitudes.
And we love you for it. So, yes, thank you guys, as always, for listening. I am G, here at Simply G, if you're listening to this on YouTube. Otherwise, as I mentioned, you can also listen to this on pretty much every podcasting platform there is. We do try to post both the video and the podcast version of this at the same time. And I'll catch you in the next video, guys. Next episode. Bye till then.
Bye, guys.